Today's shiur is Masech Desai to Daf Yotes, and we will begin on Daf Yotes Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah continues in describing the procedure, what happened as the Saita brought a Karban Mincha and went through the procedure in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Hayin Neitel Es Minchasa Metoich Kfifa Mitzris. Her Mincha was taken from the wicker basket in which it was brought, and it was put into the klisharis. There's a machloikus rishonim who exactly put the karban mincha into the klisharis. Rashi says it was the husband that put the mincha into the klisharis. Tosfos says that it was the kohen who put the mincha into the klisharis. V'noisnal yada, and then the mincha was put on our hand. As rishonim explained, here the purpose of putting the karban mincha on our hand was not, as we learned in the previous parak, to tire her out, but rather, as we're about to learn, to begin the tenufa process. Umaniach yodametachteha, he puts his hands under her hands, umanifa, and they do tenufa. And a number of questions come up as we learn this part of the Mishnah. The Rishonim, the Acharonim discuss that how could the Kohen, if the Kohen has to participate in the Tenufa, if he's putting his hands under her hands, so he's not actually doing Tenufa. He's not holding the Klisharis. He's only holding her hands. So how is Tenufa accomplished that way? It's one question that's asked. Another question that's asked is that how could the Kohen hold her hands? We know that it's a Negiyah. A man is not supposed to touch a woman's hands. And even though the Rambam, who holds that the Issa Negiyah is the Issa Daraisa, however, the Shach explains that's only when it's Derech Chiba, when it's done out of affection. This is not being done out of affection. Still, it's inappropriate. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi is asking. So how is this done this way? So the simplest answer, which many Rishonim suggest, is that this is the Gzeres HaKasuv. This is what the Torah says is the way it's supposed to be done. So there's no questions how, what, why. Another explanation that I saw that resolves both questions is that it's not that the Kohen and the woman put their hands, the Kohen puts his hands below the woman's hands. Rather, what he does is he holds one side, one corner of the klisharis, and the woman holds another side of the klisharis. So they're not touching, and they're both touching they're not touching each other, and they're both touching the klisharis. It's a nice suggestion, but it's not really what it seems to be saying in the wording of the Mishnah. Others suggest that that's the halacha. The halacha is not that the kohen and the woman have to be touching the klisharis. Rather, the halacha is that tenufa is primarily done by the owner. The owner has her hands, which in this case is the woman, has her hands under the klisharis. And the kohen, who's not the owner, doesn't really have to be touching the klisharis. It's enough if he has his hands under the hands of the woman. And there's a nice raya that that's the proper pshat of understanding our Mishnah. Because the Gemara Masechta Menachos discusses what's going to be the halacha if partners bring a Karban Mincha together. And each one of them has an obligation to do tenufa. How can they do tenufa together? If the halacha is that one's hand under the other is acceptable, so why doesn't the Gemara suggest that one should put his hands under the other one's hands? Because only it's the kohen and the woman. Well, really the woman, this is the way the Stipler explains this answer, only the woman is the owner, and she's putting her hands under the carbon, and the kohen is really in an auxiliary role. That's why he doesn't have to have his hands on the klisharis. But when we have two owners, two partners, they both have to be touching the klisharis, and the Gemara has to figure out how that's doable. As a result of this question of Tosfos, the Mefarshim point out that here we see that one hand is the hand of one person is considered a chatzitza by the hand of another person. Because the Tosfos and the Rishonim ask, how could the Kohen have his hand under the woman's hand? There's a chatzitza, which is relevant la'alocha l'maisa in the following situation. The halacha is if one is missing his yarmulke, is missing his head covering, and he wants to make a bracha without, and he can't make a bracha without a yarmulke, the halacha is putting one's hand on his head is not an acceptable way of covering his head, because it's all one body. You have to put another material. What would be the halacha if I don't have a yarmulke and I want to make a bracha? So somebody else should put his hand on my head. Would that be considered a hand as a hand? It's no difference if it's my hand or your hand, or your hand is not my hand. From here, the fact that Tosfos suggests that another hand is a chatzitza, we see that two hands are considered two separate entities, and that's indeed the halacha, that if somebody needs to make a bracha and he doesn't have his own yarmulke, and he doesn't have anything he covers his head with, he could ask someone else to put his hand on top of his head. Tosfos and Rishonim also offer other questions to the question that we asked, why is there no problem of negiah here with the kohen is touching the woman's hand? One answer given is that they have a piece of material between their hands, which is certainly a difficult answer because you really have a chitzitza then. So others say that they used an old kohen, which is a chiddush. Others explain, because if it's also, what's the difference, old or young? Others say that since it was for a very short time, there is no issue of chatzitza. Yet others explained, since it was done in the Azara, and as we learned in the previous prokim, there were a lot of people there, so there's no concern of negia because so many people are watching. And along the same lines, we're referring here to a woman who acted very inappropriately. She's a saita. So that's why we don't have to be concerned that the kohen has any affection by touching her. Tosfos also discusses, why would halacha, this woman who's the saita has no hands. What would be done then? So Taisha says, under those circumstances, two kohanim do tenufa together. And the Midrash David explains, what is Taisha explaining that's two kohanim? So the Midrash David explains Taisha very nicely. He says, first of all, because the first question is, why doesn't you just have one kohen do it? So the Midrash David explains, the halacha is that tenufa has to be done by two individuals. So therefore, even though the owner, the woman, can't do tenufa, suggesting that a kohen should do tenufa alone is not a suggestion. But now, he asks, fine, tenufa, the way tenufa is done, it's done by two individuals. But the question is, why does it have to be done by two kohanim? Why don't you have a kohen, that you always have to have, and that the other person doing the tenufa should be anyone that the woman could appoint as her shliach. Says the Midrash David a very interesting pshat. He says as follows. Really, the way tenufa is supposed to be done, tenufa is an avoida. And an avoida is always done by kohanim. There's a specific exception to the rule here that the owner of the carbon, even though he or she is not a kohen, could do the tenufa. But that dispensation was only said to the owner. Here, we unfortunately, as we're saying, we're referring to a situation that the woman doesn't have hands, so the owner can't do the tenufa, so only a kohen can do the tenufa, because tenufa is an avoida, and by definition, an avoida must be done only by kohanim. Continues the Mishnah, umenifa, so the kohen puts his hands under her hands, and they do tenufa. Hainif, so they do the tenufa v'hegish, as we learned in the previous parak. They bring the karban mincha to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Kometz, the kohen takes off the kometz v'hikter, and he does aktara v'shar nechlo kohanim, and the rest of the karban is eaten by the kohanim. Now, first, explain why does the Mishnah have to say that the rest of the karban mincha, besides the kometz, is eaten by kohanim? Isn't that the halacha by every karban mincha? So, Mefarshim explained. This karban mincha is a unique type of karban. It's a karban that's not just brought because a person wants to bring karban mincha. It's brought to determine if the woman committed adultery or not. So we would think that it's a different type of a karban mincha. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that even so, it has the same din like all karban minchas, that besides for the kohen, kohmetz, the rest is eaten by the kohanim. Continues the Mishnah. Hayimashka v'akach makvis minchasai. First the woman drinks, and then she brings her karban mincha. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, makrives minchasoi v'akachoi mashka. First, she brings the karban mincha, and only afterwards would she drink the water. Shenemar v'acha yashkes isha esamayim. Whoever says the Mishnah, Rav Shimon agrees, then hishka v'akach makrives minchasoi, if they reverse the order, which she drank before she brought the karban mincha, he will agree that it's kosher, it's acceptable. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar le Rabbi Oishia de Dore. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Oishia of his generation, And Rashi explains, what does he mean for Rabbi Oishia of his generation? Because we also find in Shas that there was Rabbi Oishia who was a Tana. He was always the one that we find him disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. And we're going to find Rabbi Elazar uses a sharp terminology. He certainly wouldn't have spoken to Rabbi Yoshia from the previous generation, the Tana, in this way. So the Gemara specifying it was Rabbi Yoshia of his generation, his contemporary, that he spoke to this way. And he said to him, Loitesav Akarech, don't sit down. Ad the Mefarshis Lo Lahom Milsa. Until you explain to me the following din. What's Pshat, don't sit down? So I saw quite a number of Pshatim. One Pshat, I saw from Rav Volzner, is that the halach is that one comes to see a Talmud Chacham, he can't just sit down, he has to get permission to sit down. And I'm saying, I'm not yet granting you permission to sit down. Another pshat is that the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, a difficult Gemara, you have to learn sitting, because it's easier to concentrate when you're sitting. An easy Gemara, you could learn standing. So he's saying, I'm going to ask you an easy question, and you can remain standing, it's not so hard to that you should have to sit down for. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says that in the earlier generations, they were able to learn Torah standing. As the world got weaker, they can't learn Torah that way. They have to sit down. So what he was saying to him is, I consider you a person of a earlier generation on that madrega, on that level, that you could learn Torah standing, you weren't affected by the weakness that came down to the world. And yet, a fourth pshat, and we'll stop with this, is as follows. The halacha is that if I come to ask someone a shayla, I'm supposed to stand. That's the proper respect, that I, who am asking, is supposed to stand as I ask you a question. Here we find just the opposite. Rabbi Elazar is asking Rabbi Oishia a shayla, and Rabbi Elazar is sitting, and Rabbi Oishia is standing. How do we understand this? So what he's saying is, I'm not asking you a question, halacha, mutter, osa, kosher, treif. I'm asking you to explain to me the Mishnah, the din, and that's not the regular type of shayla where the halach is that the person asking the question is supposed to stand in front of the person he's asking. He said, Menayin lemincha soita shetuna tenufa. How do we know that mincha soita requires tenufa? So he said, what's the question? Menolon? Vehenef ksiv bo. The Torah specifically says that it has to have tenufa. Ask the Gemara Bebaile Menolon. How do we know that the owners have to participate in the Tenufa? So he answered, Ask ye yad yad mishlamim. We learn Gzer Shav from Shlamim. Ksiv hocha. It says here regarding the Mincha Soita. V'lokach ha-koyim yadi isha. Speaks about the koyim. The ksiv hosom. And it says regarding the Korban Shlamim. Yodov tiviyena makan. So just like here, the Torah explicitly says that the koyim has to participate. Aflahal koyim. By Korban Shlomim, the Kohen has to participate. Umala Halon, just like by the Korban Shlomim, the Aloch is Bailim, because the Pasuk says, Yodov, the owner of the Bailim, Afkan, by Mechasoita, the Bailim have to participate. How, Ketzad? How is all of this fulfilled? As we learned in the Mishnah, Meniach Yodoy Tachs Yad HaBailim, the Kohen puts his hands under the hands of the owner, and that's how they do, main if that's how they do Tenufa. So the Mishnah continued, Heinef Vehegish, Comets have a mashka, va'achkach makvus minchasai. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. Our Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah, goes through the entire process of how the Korban Mincha is offered. And then afterwards, the Mishnah again speaks about that krov of the Mincha. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Ha'akrava, the Mishnah already said that the Korban Mincha was brought. And now we're saying that, according to the Rabbanon, first they give it to drink and then they bring the Korban Mincha. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Says the Marachkam. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. First, the Mishnah says, "Say the Menachas Ketzad." What is the way a Korban Mincha is brought? What is the procedure for bringing Korban Mincha? On that, the Mishnah says, "Heina for Hegish, Kometz for Hector, Vashan Nachal Kahanim." That's the process for bringing Korban Mincha. Now continues the Mishnah, saying, "Ubashkar Grufa." Regarding at what point was the Hashkar done? There's a machlokes of Shimon Rabbanon. The Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon hold, the first they had Mashka, Vachkach Makrevis Menchasa. Rabbi Shimon Savor, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand holds Makrevis Menchasa, first the Milch is brought, Vachkach Mashka, Shnev Vachayashka. However, the Mishnah said that Rav Shimon agreed that Mhishka Vakachikas Mechasai, if he reversed the order, doing Hashaka before bringing the Mincha, Kshera. So before we go into the Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we need to look at some psukim in the Parsha of Saita. It's Bamid Parshas Nosai, Perikei, Psukim Chavdalet, Chavhei, Chavov, and Chavzayim. The Pasuk Chavdalet says, Vishkas Isha Samei Hamorim Hamorim, we give it a drink, Ubo Ba Maim Hamorim Lamorim. Pasuk Chavhei discusses the Korban Mincha, V'loka Chakoyim Yari Isha Smincha Knoz Ve'en V'sa Mincha Lefnei Hashem, Vikr V'Yisrael Mizbeach. Then Pasuk Chavov begins with the continuation of the Korban Mincha, V'komet Chakoyim Yari Minchas Askerosa V'hikta Mizbeach. And then the pasuk continues, "Va'acha yashkas isha samayim," and then pasuk Chav Zayin says, "V'hishkas isha samayim," we give it to drink the water. V'hoisem nitma, and the pasuk describes, we will discuss it later in the parak, what happens if she's guilty. Or now there are two problems in learning these pasukim. One problem is pasuk Chav Dalet seems to indicate that the shaka, the drinking, takes place before the korban mincha is brought. Pasuk Chavov and Chavzayin seem to indicate that the drinking takes place after the Korban Mincha was brought. How do I reconcile this? Furthermore, the Torah speaks about drinking three times. Once a Pasuk Chavdalet, once a Pasuk Chavov, and once a Pasuk Chavzayin. Why does the Torah have to speak about it three times? Tanah Rabbanan. So the Pasuk says, V'hishka, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Chavzayin, first, the Gemara is going to explain the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. It's a new opinion that we didn't have in the Mishnah. Ma tamalayim, what did the Pasuk say, V'hishka, and Pasuk Chav Zayin? V'ha loy kfar nemar, the Pasuk already said, V'hishka, and Pasuk Chav Dalet. Says the Gemara, the V'hishka and Pasuk Chav Dalet, according to Rabbi Kiva, teaches us a different din. According to Rabbi Kiva, the story Rashi explains, the main time V'hishka takes place is after the Korban Mincha is brought. The Hishka Pasuk of Zayin. But Pasuk of Dalet teaches us a different din. Shemimcha ka Megillah. Once the Megillah is erased, and the Omeris, and the woman says, Einishais, I refuse to drink, as long as we're going to learn later in the Shir, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, that she doesn't say, I am guilty, all she does is refuse to drink, we force her to drink. And the Divrei Shol says, it makes no difference if the woman refuses, or the man refuses, at this point it's too late. She has to go through and drink all the way. Did Rabbi Kiva. Rav Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon agrees with Rabbi Kiva that the Hashaka is done after the Korban Mincha is brought, but he learns it from a different Pasuk. He doesn't learn it from Pasuk of Zayin, he learns it from Pasuk Chavov. Rav Shimon Omer V'Acha Yashka, Ma Tamid Loimer. How do we say the Pasuk Chavov says V'acha Yashka to teach us that the drinking takes place after the Korban Mincha V'loit Fa'anema V'hishka? Doesn't it say V'hishka Pasuk of Dalet, which seems to indicate that the Korban Mincha is brought after Hashaka? El Acha Masim Kolam Hamurim Lamala. Says Rav Shimon, the main Hashaka is learned from Pasuk Chavov, which indicates that the Hashaka is done after the Korban Mincha is brought, which is what Pasuk Chavov says. Magid says the Brice, according to Rav Shimon, Gimel Dvorim Akvimbo. She has to have three things take place in order for the Hashaka to be effective. Achloi Karva Kaimitz, the Kaimitz has to be brought. Without that, because according to Rav Shimon, the Hashaka only takes place after the Korban Mincha procedure is completed. V'achloi Nimcha HaMegillah, and the Megillah has to be erased in order for the Hashaka to be effective. And she has to accept a shvua upon herself. So before we go further, there's an obvious question. We just learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, according to Rav Shimon, if she reversed the order, it's acceptable. So how could Rav Shimon say that the Hashaka is only effective if the Mincha was brought? We just learned, and the Gemara is going to bring the Psukim to pack that up, that according to Rav Shimon b'di'eved, if you reverse the order, it's fine. So what does it say? Gimel Dvar Ma'akvin. So I saw two answers in the Mefarshim. One answer in the Mefarshim is, since the other two things of Shimon lists, Mincha Kamigala and the Kabbalah Shvuah, that is essential for our Shaka to be effective. So he mentions one item which is not essential. That's one teretz. Another teretz, beautiful teretz, is as follows. Yes, as Rav Shimon learns, as we learned in the Mishnah, and going to learn in the Gemara in a moment, the source for that then, the according to Rav Shimon, if you reverse the order, it's acceptable. So what does that mean? Even though Rav Shimon normally learns, bring the Karban Mincha, and then afterwards, drink. If you drink and then bring the Karban Mincha, it's fine. But if that will happen, let's say a woman will drink before she brings the Karban Mincha. It's not that the drinking will be effective. The drinking will be put, so to speak, on hold, and the water won't do their thing until she actually brings the Karban Mincha. So actually the Karban Mincha is essential for the water to be effective, because the water really won't start working until she drinks. So now the Gemara explains what he says. Actually, Karva Kaimitz, the Brisa said, according to Rav Shimon, first she brings the Karban Mincha, and then she drinks, because Rav Shimon Tamei, Rav Shimon follows his opinion that we learned in the Mishnah, Dama Makrav Minchas of Akach Mashka. Says the Gemara, actually, Nimcha Ka Megillah. Furthermore, he said that the drinking isn't effective until the Megillah is erased. Says the Gemara, my Mashka, obviously, you have to erase it. If you won't erase it, what's there to drink? Answers the Gemara, Amar Vashalai Nitzacha Lushuma Nikr. That it's not just that you have to erase it. Avada, you have to erase it. If you don't erase, there's nothing to drink. There's a bigger chiddush here. The chiddush is that until the parchment is completely erased, and as the Divrei Shol explains, it's not just that the letters have to disappear. There has to be no mark of the ink left, which means as follows. Let's say you put the parchment into the cup. And you think, I leave it there for whatever amount of time, and it completely is dissolved. And you'll take out the parchment, and you'll see that it's not completely dissolved. You have to put it back in. And furthermore, actually, the Kabbalah Shvuah, Mishta Udala Shasya, so it's Mashma from here, only if she didn't swear she can't drink. Her Mikhtav Kesfilei doesn't mean that she could, that we could write without her accepting the Shvuah, which he discussed in the previous year. V'amar Rava, Megillah Soita, Shekosva, Shekodim Shekabala Shvuah. If a Megillah Soita was written before she accepts upon her Shvuah, Le'asav Le'klum, so why are we saying strictly that the swearing is required even in order for her to drink? The swearing is required even for us to write. Says the Gemara, Kedei Naspa. You're right. It doesn't, that's not the only thing that holds up the swearing doesn't only hold up the drinking, the swearing also holds up the writing. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara comes to explain, based on these psukim that we've been learning, the opinions of the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon. And Rav Akiva, actually. But my kamiflagi, what is the basis of the machlokes Rabbanan and Rav Shimon? Says the Gemara, Tlosa Kroik Sivi. There are three psukim. Vehishka Kama, Pasuk of Dalet, Veacha Yishka, Pasuk Chavav, Vehishka Basra, Pasuk Chav Zayin. And now the Gemara explains. Rabbanan Savri, the opinion of the Rabbanan is, Vehishka Kama, the Pasuk of Dalet, comes to teach us that our Shaka is done first, even before the Karban Mincha is brought. Lagufay. Shemashka, the first she drinks, Vach Kach Makrif Es Minchasa. That's what we learn from Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vacha Yeshka, the Pasuk Chavav comes to teach us, according to Rabbanan, the din that we just described, Shirishuma Nikr, that you can't give her to drink until the parchment is completely, everything is erased. The Hishka Basra, the last Hishka comes to teach us, according to Rabbanan, Shem Nimchaka Megillah, once the Megillah is erased, and Vaymeris, and she says, Eini Shaisa, I refuse to drink, Dalocha is Ma'aronoisai, or Mashmanas Abakarka, we force her to drink. The Mefarshim actually point out a very interesting halacha l'maisa from this. Halacha l'maisa for a soita. From here we see that if the soita doesn't drink every drop of water, it's still acceptable. Because if you're forcing her to drink, it's inevitable some of the water is going to spill out. So if she has to drink every drop of water, how could it be considered an acceptable means of drinking? It must be that even if she doesn't drink every drop, it's acceptable. Furthermore, Mefarshim asks a different question. We learned in the previous year, the Gemara had a Shaila, if she drinks the Mei Saita through a straw or through a tube, is that considered drinking? So why is this acceptable way of drinking when we force her? So my first, I'm going to give a simple teretz. When she drinks, even if she's forced to drink, she's drinking in a normal way. She's drinking out of the cup. On the other hand, when she drinks through a straw, through a tube, that may not be considered drinking, and that's why the Gemara had that shaila, and this is considered acceptable drinking. That's how the Rabbanan explained the Pesukim. Rav Shimon disagrees. He says, the Achiyashka, Pasuk HaVov is the Pasuk that teaches us Lugufoy, how it's supposed to happen. Shemakav es minchasa v'akach mashka. And Rishonim explain that Rav Shimon will also use this Pasuk to teach us the din of Rishumay Nikar, that you have to completely erase the parchment. Veshka kama, Pasuk HaVdala teaches us Shemhishka v'akach hikav es minchasa, that if she reversed the order, the loch is kshera. Veshka basra teaches us we force her to drink. Why did the Rabbanan agree with Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon, but the Evelei Pasuk Kra. Rav Shimon, they say, the Rabbanan say there's a fundamental problem with Rav Shimon's approach. Because according to Rav Shimon, Pasuk of Dalid, which is the first Pasuk that teaches us the halacha of Ashaka, is teaching us the halacha b'di'evid. If she reversed the order, that's acceptable. Say to Rabbanan, it's inconceivable that the first pasuk of a parasha is speaking about when you didn't do it the right way. And that's why they disagree with Rav Shimon. So how do we explain the opinion of Rav Shimon? The way we understand the opinion of Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon is the man the Amos throughout Shas, the Tveres Tzion says this pshat, that Storish Tam Dekroy always explains, he doesn't just take the pasukim at face value, who always looks for explanation. If we're going to try to understand this with seichel, with logic, Rav Shimon's reasoning makes a lot of sense. We always want to delay the drinking. So Rav Shimon, who delays the drinking, makes a lot more sense. Says Rav Shimon that, yes, there is a difficulty with my approach, that the first pasuk is speaking about a b'di'evit. But what is the advantage of my approach? That it's logical that you drink as late as possible. The need to follow the logic supersedes the concern that the pasuk begins with b'di'evit. How does Rabbi Kiva learn? The Gemara doesn't review it, but let us review it. Rabbi Kiva says, v'hishka, a pasuk of Zion, teaches us that she drinks after the Karban Mincha is brought. The v'hishka, a pasuk of Dalet, teaches us that even if she doesn't want to drink, we force her to drink once the water once was erased. And Pasuk Chavav teaches us the din of Rishuma Nikar. One very important point. If we learn the Gemara without trying to really get into the Gemara, we would think that Rav Shimon and Rabbi Kiva agree. They both hold that first the Karban Mincha is brought, and then the Ashaka is brought. And then the Ashaka is done. But if we learn the Gemara, Gezunt, we'll find that there are two very fundamental differences between Rabbi Kiva and Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, we just learned, that b'di'evit, if she reversed the order, it's acceptable. Rabbi Kiva has no pasuk to teach us that. And according to Rabbi Kiva, you always have to bring the mincha and then the drinking, and reversing the order is not even acceptable b'di'evit. One nafkamina between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. Another nafkamina that the Rishonim point out between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. What will be the halacha if they reverse the order? So Rabbi Shimon says that it's acceptable. Rav Shimon says that it's acceptable, but under those circumstances, we won't force her to drink if she doesn't want to drink, even though the parchment was erased. Rabbi Kiva says we always force her to drink once the parchment was erased. Ask the Gemara, the Sava Rabbi Kiva Mashkanai Sabah Karcha, is Rabbi Kiva the man the Amidat says that we force her to drink against the will, v'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, karbis shabazel, a metal bar, matilim tachpia we put into our mouth. Shemnim chagah megillah, if the megillah was already erased, v'omre enishayis, and she says, I refuse to drink, ma'aron oisoy, or mashkan sabakar, we force her to drink. That's the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Omer Bekiva, says Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Yehuda, klum anotzrichim el levodka. What's the purpose of giving her to drink? To evaluate if she's innocent or guilty. If she's refusing to drink, v'labaduka v'imedis. She's already explaining and agreeing that she's guilty. Says Rabbi Kiva, Ella actually carved a kaimitz until the kaim mincha was brought. Yochai lachsaba, she could reverse her position. When she carved a kaimitz, once the kaim mincha is brought, the halacha is any yochai lachsaba. She can't change her mind. So we right away have a question. We've been explaining since the Tapir Amid that the opinion of Rabbi Akiva is that once the kaim mincha was brought, once it was erased, she can't change her mind. Here he says he can change her mind. But ask the Gemara, if you read the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is a difficult opinion to understand. We need to understand what Rabbi Akiva is saying. First, Rabbi Akiva says, the Mishikarva Kaimitz, once the Karva Milch is brought, any Achalach Sabah, it's too late, she can't change her mind. But why? Didn't Rabbi Akiva just say that once a woman refuses to drink, that's a clear indication of guilt? So what's the difference if the Karva Milch was brought or not? So how do we understand Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Says the Gemara, like Kasha. This is the way to understand Rabbi Akiva's opinion. It makes a difference when we see that the woman is nervous. Resisa means she's agitated. Or Resisa means she's calm. And this is the way to understand Rabbi Akiva's opinion. If we see that the woman is calm, klaklol loishasya. If the woman remains calm, cool, and collected, and she refuses to drink, we never make a drink. No matter at what point she says she refuses to drink. Why? So Rishonim explained, because probably what this woman's thinking was as follows. She was thinking that maybe there'll be a ness. Maybe something will happen that they won't give me the water to drink. And if it comes to the 11th hour, they're going to have to drink. At that point, I'll say, I don't want to drink. So if we see that she's calm, that's what we attribute was her thinking. However, Machmas Risusa, if we see that she's agitated, so now it makes a difference. Actually, Karva Kaimitz, before the Karva Mincha was processed, the Kati Loimchik Megillah, that the Megillah wasn't yet erased, Inami Imchik Megillah, or if the mincha was erased, if the Megillah was erased, which the Kohanim should not have done, because the Kohanim, according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, are not supposed to erase the Megillah until after Karban Mincha is completed. Matzah Hadraba, there she can change her mind. However, if the Karban Mincha was already brought, and then the Megillah is erased, however, Mishikarva Kaimitz, if the Karban Mincha was brought, and now the Kohanim erased the Megillah, so they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. To the din of the Kohanim, the Machki, Lematzah Hadraba. Why? Because since we see she's nervous, we attribute, says Rabbi Akiva, that the reason she's saying that I don't want to have the drink the water is not because she thinks she's all of a sudden guilty. She just got nervous because it's a traumatic event. So if it was done prior to erasing the Megillah, so as we've learned so many times, we want to avoid erasing the Megillah. So even though we see that maybe she's only saying it because she's nervous, makes no difference. We tell her, don't drink, go home, separate from your husband, you don't get the ksuba. But if it was erased anyway, so we already erased the Megillah, there we tell her, drink, we force her to drink. The Miches Chinuch and the Rambam point out that the Gemara says here that it's the job of the Kohanim to erase the Megillah. So they say only Kohanim could erase the Megillah, no one else could erase the Megillah. And therefore Yisrael, says the Rambam, or a Kayin who's still a cotton, can't erase the Megillah. The Miches Chinuch, however, does suggest that a Kayin who's a Baal Mum will be allowed to erase the Megillah. For even though a Kayin who's a Baal Mum is not allowed to do Avoida, erasing the Megillah, even though, as we're learning now, requires a Kayin to do it, is not considered an Avoida, and that's why it can be done by a Kayin who's Baal Mum. However, now the Gemara asks a different question. If you will recall, when we finished explaining the opinions of the Rabbanan, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon, I said according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no option to reverse the order. We learned that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Mishnah already said it, and we proved it from Psukim, that if one reversed the order and gave it to drink before the Karban Mincha, it's acceptable. According to Rabbi Akiva, we said there is no possibility to allow for such a dispensation. Yet this Braisa who's explaining the opinion of Akiva, clearly said that you could have a situation that she drank, or the Megillah was erased before the Karban Mincha was brought. How do we understand this brisa? That's the Gemara's question. Kasha the Akiva the Akiva. That we can't give it a drink until it was, and we can't bring the Karban Mincha and we can't give it a drink until she Megillah was erased. So how do we understand the opinion of Akiva? And so tomorrow, try to know if I leave it to Rabbi Kiva. What is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? If the order is essential or not? Ask the Gemara. Ibailu, Amr Eni Shai Samachmas Priyusa. A woman who's calm, who just finished explaining, even Rabbi Kiva will agree, at any point, could say, I refuse to drink. V'chazra Amr Shai Sani. And then she changes her mind, says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead with it. Mao, Kim Damr Eni Shai Sa. Do we say that once she says that I refuse to drink, it's an admission of guilt? Tamei ani kamra. It's an admission of guilt, a guilt. The kivin the ax and nash betuma. Once you have such an admission, loy matzeh hadrabei, she can't reverse it. Adama, or maybe the way we should understand it, kivin the amr shasani. Once she says I'm going to drink, so it's proving that when she said I don't want to drink, it's not because she was admitting that she's guilty. It's only the machmas biyusosodamri. What she's saying is, I got cold feet for a minute, and that's why I refused to drink, but not that I really ever admitted to guilt, and because she never really did declare the words tameyani. The Gemara Teiku says that we don't have an answer to this question. Besides going and erasing the parchment in the water, we have to put into the water something bitter. My tama, damakra mei hamorim, shemam kvar. The water is already bitter. How is the water bitter? By putting something bitter into it. And explains the Meiri. What's the point of putting something bitter into it? So he explains, memonavshach. If the woman is really tamei, so besides all of the curses, we want to get her not to drink, as we've been learning. So one of the ways we get her not to drink is by making the water very bitter, which may be another reason that she shouldn't want to drink. On the other hand, as we learned and we'll learn, if she's innocent, then the water brings to her a tremendous bracha. And the nesa is that even though the water is bitter, from bitter water, a bracha could come. But ask the Chasam Sofer. Even if we understand what the Meiri said, wouldn't it make more sense just to have the parchment, the water? What are we bringing in, this bittering agent, some sort of an external ingredient into this Mayim Hamorim? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says we always have to be concerned that this woman is Tamei. And if she's Tamei, she's going to make the water Tamei. If a Tamei person touches a food when they're Tamei, they make the food Tamei. And you can't do an avoider with tamei food. Therefore, we make the water bitter. It's not royal achilas kelev. It's not edible even to a dog. The halach is the food that's not edible is not susceptible to become tamei. That's why the Torah tells us, says the Chasam Sofer, make the food inedible so it won't be susceptible to tumah. So even if the woman is tamei, it wouldn't have any effect on the water.